a night sky filled with stars. The kind of sky you see when you're far away from city lights. This kind of sky you see out in the country, maybe over the inky stillness of a lake or over top of a field. I've always found stars fascinating, if not a little disappointing. When I was a child, somebody taught me a poem, a little poem to recite when I saw the first star in the evening. Maybe you know it. Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. I wish I may, I wish I might, have the wish I wish tonight. And I close my eyes and I'd wish really hard. I don't think it ever worked. But I kept doing it over and over again anyway, just hoping that magical star might come through sometime. What's the first star you think of in the Bible? Probably the most famous star of all, especially around this time of the year, the one that led the Magi to Jesus. Years and years before that, there's another story in the Bible about stars. Late one night, a man named Abram was praying in his tent. Abram was worried because he had no children. No children to carry on his name, to continue the covenant relationship with God. And so he cried out to God in prayer. And God told Abram not to be afraid. God led Abram out of the tent into the evening and under the night sky. God said to Abram, look up. Look up into that sky and count the stars if you can. Abram looked up and gazed at that famous canopy of shimmering stars overhead. And God said, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars. I don't think Abram was convinced right away. It seemed a ridiculous promise for an old man and an old woman who had no children. He chuckled when he said, can a child be born to a man that's 100 years old, to a woman who's 90 years old? Still, the promise came to be. In fact, Abram changed his name was changed to Abraham, which means the father of many or the father of a multitude. And his descendants would spread throughout the world. Today, millions of people, Jews and Muslims and Christians alike, trace their roots back to Abraham. Stars are amazing things. They're unimaginably, one of the amazing things about them is that they're unimaginably far away from us. As was noted today, the sun is a star, the closest one to the earth. On average, it kind of fluctuates a little bit, but on average, this closest star is 150 million kilometers away. 150 million. It takes about 8 seconds for sunlight traveling at 300,000 kilometers a second to reach us. If you could drive your car, Kirk, 300,000 kilometers an hour, you could circle the globe 7.5 times in 1 second. You wouldn't see much along the way, but that's how fast you could do it. It takes 4 years for the light from the next closest star to reach us, traveling at 300,000 kilometers per second. 4 years. And when we look up, most of us can identify the Big Dipper, at least, of all the constellations, what we call a Big Dipper. I think the nearest star to us in that constellation, the light takes about 80 years to reach us. So it could be burned out for 80 years and we wouldn't know it. When we look up at the stars, we are, generally speaking, looking at light from the past. Light that started its journey years and years and years ago. In the passage from Daniel today, there was mention of stars. In that book, we read these words: "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. The book of Daniel was written for people living in exile. Jerusalem had been invaded, the people of that city driven from their homeland to live far away, in foreign land, in foreign circumstances, in foreign languages, and so on. And while they were away, they grew sad, lonely for their homeland. They were oppressed and persecuted. They were losing hope. They were losing hope in God. Daniel's visions and words were meant to restore hope and faith. He encouraged the people to persevere through the darkness of exile, to hold on to their faith through the horrors of exile. Exile that would last for a long, long time. But by the way they lived in exile, the way they kept their faith would shine like stars in the heavens for generations to come. It would shine as a star in darkness. Paul had a similar message for the Christians living in Philippi. In Philippians 2:15, Paul writes, "Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world." Daniel and Paul remind us that we are children of God, descendants of Abraham, who are called to shine for God. Jesus encouraged his followers with a similar kind of message. One day he was sitting with his disciples, a collection of pretty ordinary people. They had their strengths and their weaknesses. They had their joys and their sorrows, their faith and their doubt. And Jesus looked at them and said, "You know what? You are the light of the world." I wonder what their response was. They're not exactly movers and shakers. I imagine they kind of glanced at each other and maybe back at Jesus, sort of like, "What? You talking to us? The light of the world?" But Jesus was serious. He had a vision. When he looked at the disciples, he could see something of himself in them. He could see reflections of the light of the life of God, of faith, of love, of grace, of peace, of enthusiasm and creation. He could see the light of the world of God growing in them. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." It's a pretty amazing promise. And looking at his disciples, he said in the same way, "Let your light shine. Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Jesus taught his disciples over and over again through all kinds of words and stories and examples how to be that light, how to share the goodness of God in the world, how to live out a life of faith in acts of love and grace and forgiveness and so much more. Jesus reminded his followers how important it was not to hide that light, but to let it shine. And they did shine. We know that disciples talked to one another and they talked to those around them. And the story passed from person to person, from household to household, from town to town, around the world, and across time, until here we are, very far away in terms of time and space, hearing that same message, that same calling, following that same Jesus Christ. As God's children today, in this part of the world, we are also the light of the world, not because we're so great, but because there's a light that shines within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. A light that has touched us somehow because somebody talked to us, somebody showed us the way. Somehow the Holy Spirit convicted us that this is a good thing, and that light came into us and now it shines through us. We share that light by sharing the Word of God, by living lives that honor God, that serve God. And that's all part of what we talk about on Legacy Sunday. What we do that is a kind of legacy that shines on year after year down the road. As Christians, being faithful to God, our legacy, God's legacy, shines through us. There's an example, a wonderful example, I think, of a kind of legacy that's in the resource for this sermon today. And it comes from Gloucester Presbyterian Church, which is situated in Ottawa. This is a very active faith community. The congregation is intentional about being good neighbors within its community. The church is located apparently across the street from a public school. And what some of the things that church does now is on the first week of school in September, members from the congregation go out and they greet the students with freezies. You know, who wouldn't want to be greeted at school with a freezie? But then the parents also throughout the year, people from the church, I should say, throughout the year, greet the students and help them find their way to the classrooms and onto the schoolyard safely. Many of the people in the congregation volunteer in the school and help out in various class activities. And once a year, the church organizes a service to honor the teachers and all the staff at the school. They've developed a very close relationship with this school. Gloucester dreamed of reaching out to even more children, so they hired a youth and family outreach worker. He's got a great name. His name is Prince Owusu. How could you fail with a name like Prince? Originally he's from Ghana, and he's a PhD candidate at Carleton University School for Social Work. And Prince works as a sort of a liaison between the church and the community, works with a newly established youth group, and also leads Messy Church several times a year. Do you know Messy Church? Is that something you do here? Okay, you're not? Okay, let me just say, just briefly. Messy Church is a relatively new development among several Christian denominations. Several Presbyterian churches have adopted it. It's a church for people who would not feel comfortable in a setting like this. And so they'll organize an evening, probably some other day of the week, an evening at the church where people are invited for a meal, for some kind of activity, and some sort of celebration that will be a Christian celebration. And invites the people into the community to get to know one another, to do something kind of fun and interesting together, to share a meal, and to hear something of God's word. It's messy church. It's not structured like this, but it's proven to be very, very effective. So Prince Owusu organizes Messy Church at that congregation. Gloucester's minister, the Reverend Alan McCartney, says, God has done remarkable things, and we're so grateful. Gloucester's journey to that point wasn't smooth. It was a bit of a wandering through the wilderness. When Denise was called to that congregation 9 years ago, the congregation had experienced more than a decade of turmoil. And they were this close to closing their doors. In terms of mission and direction, they had no idea what they were doing. They had no plans and no vision. Denise began her ministry with an emphasis on growing faith, not so much funds. The congregation wanted to build faith by getting to know more about Jesus and what it means to be disciples of Jesus, and she helped them with that. They also wanted to know how to be good neighbors in the community and how to become self-sustaining. They wanted to be people of the gospel, people who were people of prayer, of faith, who could seek the guidance of the Lord. While Denise was working with the people in all of this, God gave Gloucester an incredible dream to hire someone who could help them serve youth and young families in the neighborhood. They had already relied on other kinds of grants to sustain their present ministry, so they knew they had to do something differently. And they moved forward as a congregation to set a legacy fund goal of $100,000. Seems impossible, doesn't it? $100,000, in addition to some $50,000 they already had set aside in savings. And they wanted to keep up their regular givings at the same time. At an annual congregational meeting, the congregation was 100% supportive of this, which was a sign to Denise and others that this was the Holy Spirit working in that congregation. After much prayer and faith sharing and storytelling and teamwork, the church began to work on this fund. And the people caught the vision, and in less than a year, the congregation raised $150,000 to be invested as their legacy fund. Not only did they meet their fund goal, but their regular budget somehow had a surplus as well. They celebrated with a great service, with balloons and all sorts of things, giving thanks to God for God's faithfulness and for the generosity of God's people. The interest from that legacy fund now supports initiatives like the Family and Youth Outreach Ministry. And their regular giving continues to grow. Denise says this, "Don't start from scarcity," which we tend to do. "Don't start from scarcity, start from gratitude. Invite the Lord to shape your vision. It's when we start in prayer, start in faith, start in enthusiasm, start in hope, start in trusting God and reaching out to God, that's when these great things begin to happen. That's what legacy is all about. It's about living for God in a way that shines in the community, shines in the world through the light of Christ. Investing in an endowment fund is just one way that we can shine like stars for years to come. It's kind of important to remember that story about the light from the stars taking years to reach us on earth. Sometimes what we start as a legacy may not be experienced in its fullness until maybe long after our death or years to come. But how important it is for us to be people of faith and to shine as well as we can, however God leads us. Remember those words from Daniel, "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Endowment funds like stars come in all different shapes and sizes. Some congregations use them to start new ministries like the Family and Youth Ministry. I heard of one congregation who set aside so much money that the interest from that money is all that they need to run the building, to look after the building, all the repairs and the heat and lights and all that sort of thing. So everything else that the congregation gives can be used for various mission projects. Most often, legacies encourage congregations to do more than they ever imagined possible. The essence of each fund is the same. Always investing in the future so that Christ's light can continue to shine into the world, perhaps long after we're gone. Anyone can leave a legacy. It doesn't have to be $100,000. When we live our lives in faithful acts of kindness and grace and love, we are leaving a legacy. When we tell the story of our faith to someone else, we're leaving a legacy. When we bring our children to church, we're leaving a legacy. We can give of our time and our talents and our treasure. We can give our gifts, the gifts that God has placed in our lives, and share them with others and make a difference in the lives of people sitting next to us and people around the world. God's love will shine through us. We are amazingly the light of the world. Thanks to God. Amen.